before I get a phase two. I will have to cover quite a bit of ground tonight. But I trust that you come fresh and you come expecting and you come believing and you come with patience. Amen. No, I'm not saying it'll take 2 hours, but I'm saying that if we could be set in the right atmosphere, God may say it in 10 minutes and the Holy Spirit may sweep down and do what he wants. Because I'm expecting God to take over. I'm looking for the dedication day when the glory of God will fill the temple and the ministers will not be able to minister. Amen. Hallelujah. So then if we are looking for those things and it's going to happen, amen, then how we must be on the expectation. And because people fail to have that kind of expectation, then they cannot seem to be interested the way they ought to be interested. Amen. But I thank God that many times we think that we have not won victories. But you'd be surprised if you travel around a little bit around the country and go outside a little bit, see how many people is bound by spirits of tradition, by lukewarm spirits. Amen. See, my church is cold and dead. They came out of Pentecost. They come into the message and they get confused. And they don't know where they're going, what they're looking for, what is promised. They don't know if they should praise God or they shouldn't praise God. They feel that they lift their hands is being emotional. They don't know what, they are confused. They don't know what to do. They just cannot be themselves. But God wants you to be yourself. And anybody that have the Holy Ghost could never go into fanaticism. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I love, amen, when you're among people that can be free. And I feel free here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Because I know in heaven, like Brother Bram talked about this man, Sambu. Amen. He went up to heaven and they went to give him a robe and harps and crowns. And he said, look, don't bother me with that. I have no time for that. Amen. He said, I just want to look upon him for 1,000 years. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is the way we feel. Yeah. Because he's unveiled. And we are looking upon him. Yes, amen. And this is the hour. Amen. Of divine worship. When the Father has sought a people who can worship him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. Amen. Brother Bram says, Revelation 5, when the Lamb takes the book, is the hour to worship the King. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the names are being revealed. And you don't have to wait until you go there to know you reach there. You have eternal life in you now to show you cannot stay here. You have to be there. You have the evidence that you are going in the resurrection. You have the earnest that your body shall be changed. The brother sang this song tonight. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. Why? Because the body have already come in obedience to the word. Your body have already turned heavenly. Amen. Hallelujah. So, for a little tiger tonight, Father, glorify thy name. Revealed in the seven thunders. And I thank God also here too that we don't have the leery feeling about the seven thunders. You know, people they have so many different ideas about the seven thunders. They say we have so many different ideas about the Bible. You know that? And then they have so many different ideas about the message. So if there's anything that has too much ideas about it, we get kind of scared about it, then we'll get ourselves in the wrong thing. Right. Amen. But then if there's a Bible question, there have to be a Bible answer. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we so thank God that when things sound mysterious, and people try to make it mysterious, we look back in the message and see how simple these things really are. Amen. Look at this. How Abraham, God had to change Abraham's name to bring forth the promise. Amen. When Peter had a revelation, God changed his name. Amen. When Jacob overcome, God changed his name. Amen. Then God also changed our name also. But Abraham said, I thank God the day I found out I was not the son of Charlton Ella Branham. Amen. Because Charlton Ella Branham could only produce a body. Charlton had a sperm, Ella had an egg. Amen. But God had a gene. Amen. Hallelujah. And when God's gene came into Charlton's sperm and Ella egg, hallelujah, then was a mystery of Malachi 4 being manifested. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, our mother and father produced this body. This body was formed in the womb of our mother for 9 months. But the soul, which you are, came from God. Amen. And God has a name. And many people, they thought God's name was Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and Pilgrim Holiness, all these things. They thought that that was God's name. Only to find out that God said that is blasphemous names. Hallelujah. And we find out that God had to bring us to a true identity. And the same way you have a natural bloodline, and you can prove that by your blood, you're from a certain family and a certain man is your daddy. And the same way you have a birth certificate and you have your driver's permit, your identification card. You have your passport, your credentials. Amen. And then somebody cannot come and tell you, you are not such and such a person. Because you could produce your credentials to prove what your identity is. Amen. It's the same way God, in his lineage, in the genealogy of Elohim. Elohim was the self-existent one, and in him was genes, attributes. Amen. And his seed began to be manifested, a portion in every age. Amen. And this Bible, the Lamb's Book of Life, is Elohim's genealogy. Amen. And the way he wrote our names in the Bible, he wrote it in a mystery. So many people run forth and claim that they were Christians, but the ones who were the genes of Elohim, when they came, they could go back to the world and show that they were sons and daughters of God by a true scriptural identification. And that is what God looked for in every age, to honor their claims. You walk into the bank and you don't have no bank account, and you try to draw some money. Brother Abraham said, he said, that is what the Baptist is like. He said, they can write a check, but they have no money in the bank. He said, the Pentecostals, they have money in the bank, but they can't write a check. Amen. But here was the prophet. He had money in the bank, and he could write the check. Little fishy, Jesus Christ, give me back your life. He wrote a check, and the fish lived. Sister Hattie Wright, your two boys, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive them. He wrote a check, and it didn't bounce. Hallelujah. When you have real scriptural identity, your checks could never bounce. You can't be found in an embarrassed position because of insufficient funds. No, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. You have real scriptural identification. Ask anything in my name. Amen. Now, many a time, it sounds simple. And people say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and nothing happens. Amen. But then when God begins to unveil what in the name of Jesus is, like Sunday we were preaching there, the principal theme of the New Testament. And we see in the name of Jesus mean, to have his name, you have to be part of him. Because he called the name Adam. Amen. So, for she to have his name, she had to be part of him. She had to be in him, have his own life. Because she was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, blood of his blood, everything he was. She was. She was only him in a feminist form. Amen. So then when we come to having his name, asking in his name, abiding in his name, being part of his word, it's something to be revealed. That we can look in our lives and have faith. Amen. Basing it upon the word. Have faith by a revelation that God has confirmed to us and shown us that we are part of him. As Brother Abraham says, what is the believer? He says the characteristics of the prophesied promise identified in you makes you the believer. What made him the believer? There was a promise. A prophesied promise, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. That was the word of God for that day. The Pentecostal age, as far as God concerned, was finished when they organized. As far as they went along in their works, they thought they was having a great movement. But God had moved on to something else. And the prophet was the manifestation of Malachi 4:5. But he couldn't claim that without having the characteristic of that promise identified in his life to prove he is that word manifested. And when he saw his life was producing that characteristic, like Jesus could say, if you don't believe me, believe the works. They identify who I am. See what the Bible promised Messiah would do. And look at my life and see if I'm not producing that. You see? So then the believer today, the word today, that is identified the bride today. The believer is the faith of God, in perfect faith now, the faith of God that moves in you. Not your faith. The faith of God that moves in you. Paul said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the Son of God, his faith was that he saw he was the manifestation of the word for that age. And if that same faith is in you, it will identify through you and in you what part of this Bible you are. Because if this Bible is God printed self, and then you are, your soul was part of God, then part of this Bible is part of your printed self. Because the soul in you is part of God. Amen. Amen. Then that soul in you is God's thought expressed in flesh for this season. Amen. And the Holy Spirit come and quicken that to bring you conscious. See, one of the real evidence that a person is quickened is they have become conscious. First, they're living in an unconscious state of mind. As the Bible says, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give you light. Amen. Amen. While we were dead in sin and trespasses, he had quickened us. Amen. Amen. See, sleep is an unconscious state of mind. See, and then when God can quicken us, we become conscious. It is God in us fulfilling his word for this hour. Amen. And that is where the perfect faith is anchored. Amen. Oh, man, it's feeling warm here. Excuse me. Amen. So, for a little subject, you know, the title, Father, glorify thy name. Because I believe the hour is here. He's going to glorify his name. I did it before, and I will do it again. He glorified it in the prophet. And he will do it again in the bride. Amen. Hallelujah. And for a subject here, I want to take entering into the zero hour. You know, Brother Bram spoke of the zero hour. And just to kind of put that inside here, because he spoke of the zero hour, and I come into the countdown on the astronauts. I believe that a great sign has taken place. Amen. No, you see, man always look down on the ground walking like this, you see? But the Bible says, look up and lift up your heads. Amen. There's the hour to look up. Yeah. God is showing for that sign. Amen. And I want you to see how we're going to try and place this and tie this in. Here now from the countdown, this one is off the tape first. I'll give it on the book just now. To show you why I believe that that was a sign that took place. And you know a great something? It was the Canadian arm that saved the mission. The most dramatic space mission ever planned is the Canadian arm that saved it from total failure. Hallelujah. To whom is the Canadian arm of the Lord revealed? Understand what I'm saying? To whom is the Canadian arm of the Lord revealed? The arm was built in Canada. Amen. But in speaking of Gideon, he says here they come out of Egypt in the Exodus. And they came and began to go back into what they was taken out of. He said, and a prophet came on the scene and began to prophesy and speak to them. And directly after the prophet left, the angel of the Lord came on the scene. And it was in the harvest time because Gideon was threshing wheat. Hiding, scared. You can imagine 1984, the prophet gone, prophesy, the angel of the Lord is here, and people hiding and threshing wheat. All kind of idol worshippers in the message, have this man lifted up, have this man lifted up, have this man lifted up. Amen. And Gideon is hiding and threshing wheat, and the angel of the Lord come on the scene, because the hour was here where God wanted him to know himself the way God was seeing him. So the angel of the Lord comes and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he said, "Me? I'm the least of my father's children." Amen. And right there, he hear what he said. Look how he is seeing himself. Amen. The devil had so magnified himself, he made him suffer the inferiority complex. A spiritual inferiority complex. Amen. See, because this great big devil, you see, but David didn't suffer with that. Saul and them were suffering with that. Not David. Amen. Not Joshua and Caleb when they went in the land. They said, "These men are like, we are like grasshoppers in the sight of these men." Caleb said, "They will be as bread." Amen. He said, "We'll eat them up." Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. See, so the hour was there, and God was going to actually get pull out the elected bunch, and by them he's going to perform the promise. Amen. Had a season of unconscious trials that the people didn't know about. But God told Gideon, "Bring them down to the water. I'll try them there." Amen. Watch the attitude, how they drink in the water. Amen. He said, "But watch for those who lapping like a dog." Amen. Hallelujah. Who lapping up everything. He said, "That's the ones. Watch them." Amen. But Abraham, in another place, he said, some of them, by the way, they're bowing down. You can know those idol worshippers. Amen. You see, but though the attitude to the message, when it comes to that hour, and then they had a dream of the great barley loaf that mashed down the Midianite's tent. And you know what the barley loaf was? Had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba had a barley loaf. And Luther and Wesley had a fish each. Amen. A revelation. You see, you can't left in the barley. But Brother Branham brought back the barley loaf. Amen. And the barley loaf is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And that barley loaf mashed down the Midianite's tent. So here it is at a time like this, when God is bringing his Gideons. Amen. To a place to remove the spiritual inferiority complex of them. And let them see there the mighty men and women of valor. Amen. Raise up in this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice here, it is a sign that God is giving. And God showed that sign in the heavens. Because here was the prophet. He was catching the mind of God, interpreting the word for us. He was showing us what is God's signs, how God lays out his signs. Because he knew that we would have to walk for some years before we go up in the rapture. He knew during the course of that walking, many different things would be transpiring. But once we are posted along the way and know our junctions, know our seasons, know our signs, know our promises, we will not be able to be confused. Amen. So in this message, Bakersfield, Conkdong, the 9th of February 1964, something had happened way back in 1960. The prophet didn't catch it right away. John Glenn, the first astronaut, went out into outer space. Now watch that. His name was John, type of the eagle. See, and in the first thing that landed on the moon, they called it the eagle because it's a type of this age. And when the prophet caught it, the Holy Spirit revealed to him, "Look what is happening here. It is a sign of a new age." Amen. The Pentecostal age is finished. They're flying around. When the prophet caught the revelation, he began to preach Conkdong. Preach it 3 times. Conkdong, showing them in the realm of God is a Conkdong going on. Now I'm saying we are in the zero hour. We are entering the zero hour. Father, glorify thy name. Fulfill the work of faith with power. Amen. So here he was. And he's trying to show the Pentecostals that man's achievement represented something in God's economy. But the Pentecostals, it was a different way of teaching for them. They were accustomed to the programs and the Bible schools and all the different traditions. But here now, he was showing them presently what was happening in God's economy. That all these things were voices and signs relating to the word for the hour. Amen. So he said, all the natural achievements that happened in the earth has been forerunners of spiritual achievements that God has done by his church. All the natural things are type of the spiritual things. He said God showed by the airplane that the church was rising. He shows by the natural things what's happening in the spiritual. They always follow. Now notice, he says, all those things are achievements that man has achieved. Only are types and shadows of what God is doing. He always does it that way. He told us the signs that would be done in the skies. The things that would be happening just before the coming of Christ. We see that now. It's only a pointing post. We see science, how they have achieved, and how God has achieved by his church. He says, now the first thing is, these things that we are talking about, are they so or are they not? He was telling the Pentecostal people that. Are they so or are they not? We know the Bible promises, but is he here? God is here to do what he promised he would do. God is here, see? We have gone beyond speaking in tongues. That's all right, see? We have gone beyond those little things here, see? We are into a place now where we have got to have astronaut faith. Oh, my. Now we're going to strike that astronaut faith, and you're going to find out if you're still in your motor car. You're going to find out if you're still back in the horse and buggy age. You're going to find out if you're still flying around. But you're going to find out if you're a real astronaut with astronaut faith tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. He said that's astronaut power to realize that we are in Christ already. Just more of Christ, see, to lift us up into heavenly places. The old method of praying and laying hands on the sick, that's good. That was Luther days back in the automobile and so forth. We are beyond that now. Here he's saying, automobile faith is laying hands on the sick. Amen. And here he's going to show you astronaut faith now. Remember, Jesus come to the Jews in the old days. Jairus said, come and lay your hands upon my daughter and she shall live. But the Roman said, I am not worthy that you come, but just speak the word. See? Hallelujah. He recognized the power of Christ that he was over all things. Now what? Jairus came to the power. His faith led him to the power. The power was in Jesus. And the power was going to produce the promise. The Roman centurion, his faith led him to the power. The power was in Jesus. And the power could produce the promise. Both of them represented two sick people. They were standing on behalf of two people. Jairus' daughter was sick unto death. He was standing for his daughter. The Roman centurion's servant was sick. He was standing on behalf of his servant. Both approached the word for the hour. Amen. Amen. Both had a revelation. He can do it. But Jairus came and said, come and lay your hands. And the Roman centurion said, just speak the word only. Amen. What was the difference? The channel through which the faith was coming. Amen. Amen. And Jesus looked at the Roman centurion's faith and said, I have not found such a great faith in all Canada. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That kind of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Astronaut faith. He said, God does the signs in the heaven before he declares it on the earth. Amen. And now in the Kongdong book, you know, page 12, he said, now if you will watch, as sure as that achievement was by science, if the person will have a spiritual mind, and understand it represented achievement of God's economy with his church. That's when John Glenn went out. You know something? They're doing greater than what John Glenn did today. Now, I wonder if God put a full stop after John Glenn went up and said, I'm finished with working in the spiritual realms and for showing it in the realm of science. Or was that a principle of God? And it's unfolding down. Amen. And those with a spiritual mind could see where we ought to be in this hour with astronaut faith. Amen. Page 13. He says, when science achieves something by the natural, God is achieving something by the spiritual. See? Something going on all the time. Amen. Now the Wright brothers, through the achievement, was able to take science and patent something here on earth to show that there was a great spiritual thing fixing to happen. I'm saying the hour is come that the bride should be glorified. I wonder if God in the heavens is showing in the realm of the church a great spiritual something is fixing to happen. In the first time in all history, astronauts could but sever the safety line and step out the air into space, amen, with a backpack strapped on the back, amen, a power pack, and walk out the air into the unknown and the unexplored. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder what about the church if you have your power pack in your heart. Hallelujah. In that secret compartment. Hallelujah. That the animals don't have in your heart. It's there the power pack is. The Holy Spirit himself. Great is he. Your power pack is in you. That's what the astronauts have on the back. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel good tonight. I feel like a real astronaut. Amen. See, page 15. So they were able to achieve it by a scientific research. That didn't happen overnight. Scientists work and experimented and mixed the chemicals and had tests. Amen. And tested over and over again and proved it back and forth. Amen. When they saw it could work, amen, the astronauts understood what they were going into. Amen. And the astronauts knew it was proven. It was working. And their faith stood on a proven thing. Amen. Amen. They understood the laws that govern space outside the air. Amen. I wonder if God has not been proving his word back and forth, back and forth. And we are catching a revelation. It is the proven word of God. The spiritual scientists have been working in their laboratories. Have been mixing the chemicals of the word. God, through them, have been identifying the season, have been showing us the promise for the hour, have been showing us what the achievement in his church must be now. Amen. Hallelujah. What a faith we ought to have in this hour. What an expectation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when it happened on earth, God represented it with an achievement by his church. For things which are do not appear was made of things which do not appear. See the reflection of it. But God took the Bible in his research. A man who was willing to do it took the Bible and proved it that it was right. Amen. Hallelujah. Something happened. Amen. Page 17. That's the astronaut of God. It followed all the other achievements. Why won't it follow this achievement? If it followed all the other achievements, why won't something follow this achievement? Oh my. I wish for somebody, I wish that I'm built and trained out, grab that thing on the sky to be going through this roof. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm identified tonight. Amen. Glory to God, I believe it. Page 19, countdown. Oh, what astronauts and so forth has been able to achieve in the natural. God has been able to do it by his church, by the spiritual. By his spiritual people who will believe. Any man or woman who will dare at any time, amen, to take God at his word, it's an astronaut. They'll say, oh, that isn't reasonable. Hear those people crying and shouting, hear this. That's not even reasonable. That they don't understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here he says, now coming to the zero hour. We're going to see what the zero hour is, what he called the zero hour. Amen. In the natural, there was 0 hour. This check backwards, you see? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And then the fire started to move. Amen. The power started to move. Hallelujah. It'll be like a lightning bolt shooting through the sky. It don't be hot bong no more. The sparks will be flying everywhere. Oh, what about when the church comes into her 0 hour? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And the power of God begin to move in vessels that have been emptied out. That God can have the prayer in answers. Honk down page 21. He said, you know, when John Glenn said it that morning, amen, those Pentecostals couldn't believe that that really meant something in the spiritual realm. Amen. But here was a prophet taking the Bible and taking the types and showing it was representing achievement in God's church. When the Wright brothers move up into the air, it showed a great something was fixing to happen. A few months afterwards, in Azusa Street, California, amen, the Wright brothers is right. Yeah. Amen. People say, oh, you're a fanatic. You will always die. If God want man to fly, you will make him with wings. And they talk all kinds of different things. But they was willing to step out and prove their revelation. They had to break the song barrier. They had to tell the critics, hold your peace. Like Elijah. Amen. But when the school of the prophet says, don't you know Elijah will be taken away? He said, hold your peace. He had his eyes fixed on a double portion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Wright brothers move out. Dear, amen. And brother, here were the Pentecostals on Azusa Street. They left the Methodist, brother, shut down the highway for gas. Amen. There was way up in the air. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. My. Then when the Pentecostals thought they were it, and they were flying around here and flying here, flying from one city to the other city and thought I was so great. Here was the astronauts. They was leaving Earth's atmosphere and going out in the outer space. Hallelujah! Showing a great eagle age. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now watch. He says, you know, when John Glenn sat there that morning, they was listening to the countdown. 10, 9. Oh, the astronauts here listen for the countdown now. They're checking everything. Oh, my, I could imagine that before. Let me tell us right away. April the 6th, the astronauts went up. The most dramatic space event ever planned. April the 6th, 1984. The very day the spiritual astronaut had dropped down, never seen since the early church, and flew over the crib. 1909, up in Kentucky. April the 6th is when the prophet was born. Amen. The astronaut for this day. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else. Amen. April the 10th is when the Canada arm. April the 10th is when the Canada arm stretch out. Great outstretched arm. Hallelujah. Of deliverance. Amen. And grab the crippled satellite. April the 10th. What happened April the 10th? The Jordan rolled back. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Amen. And God began to magnify Joshua that day. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe the days here, God will magnify us in the sight of the people. Amen. And with faith, we can say, Father, glorify thy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Why April the 10th? Amen. The April the 10th was when Joshua, God told him, for a long season, they was waiting for the Jordan to open up. To cross over into the Ephesians for the commission to come into effect. For God to begin to magnify and show, as I was with Moses, so am I with you. And there's waiting and all kind of ideas and isms, but Joshua's waiting for a clean-cut decision. Hallelujah! All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit flashed a sign and said, Joshua, time to go over in 3 days. April the 7th, he said, 3 days. And 3 days, April the 10th, here's what's going on. Amen. And the Jordan rolled back. Amen. The same way the Red Sea opened up, the same way the Jordan opened up, showing it was the same God back there, it's the same God here. Amen. Hallelujah. See, because Exodus 14 is when the Red Sea opened up. And Exodus 14 was, why cry unto me? Speak and go forward. Isn't that what we're looking for? Why cry unto me? Speak and go forward. Amen. See that? So here you know, he says, and they were listening for the countdown. And now he's got to a spot where it says 3 minutes till something's going to take off. And let me show you now. Science now, 1946 said 3 minutes to midnight. But 1946 is when the prophet was going out. Amen. Is that correct? Amen. Why did Sam say 3 minutes to midnight? Because the Jews were flying back plane loads back into Palestine. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's 3 minutes to midnight. And here the prophet going forth, in his ministry to have three pulls. And the third pull is the total loss. Amen. They are going to have 3 minutes till midnight, till the 0 hour. And the prophet is going forth to have three pulls. Amen. Let's watch a little bit and see what's going to happen here. Amen. Now he's got to a spot where it says 3 minutes till something is going to take off. They don't know what it is. 3 minutes till we have the 0 hour. He said, but they are in the air, sitting in heavenly places, the astronauts. Amen. In Christ Jesus, listening to the countdown. The church ages and so forth, he says. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the 0 hour. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Glory to God in the highest. Sunday, we are speaking about the unveiling of the masterpiece, the bright part of the word being unveiled. Amen. Then if it's unveiled, have to go into a ministry. You have to strike it and say, speak. His name will be glorified and be admired in all that I believe. He will fulfill the work of faith with power. Amen. So he says here now, listening to the countdown. What's the countdown? All these things that promise. Here's where it's happened. All these things that promise. Here where it's happening. What's the countdown? All these things that promise. Amen. How we'll call the bride out of the blasphemous names. How are you going to bring in the place where he places his name, where the carcass is? There will the eagles be gathered together. Right. The one will be taken. The other shall remain. Yeah. There should prepare for great translation faith. Yeah, the quickening power, quickening the seed. And they're adding word upon word, being formed into the word image. Amen. Then they come and they take the New Testament and show that they have lived out that mystery. Amen. Show that every shadow, parable, type, prophecy spoke of them to show we are at the end of the age, to show everything is about to run out, there is nothing left. Amen. The generation that see Israel become a nation is about finished. There must be a bride here. Amen. Hallelujah. So all these things, you said, that's the countdown. This is promise, it's happening. This is promise, it's happening. Amen. What are they doing? Listening to the countdown. How far has it come? All the way from Luther, the countdown, justification, sanctification, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. He's showing you the two countdowns. Man's countdown and God's countdown. Man at 3 minutes to midnight, God at three poles, till the continental divide, eternity, the desert. Amen. Hallelujah. You caught that? Amen. You see, we get to that after a while, amen. I just saying those things kind of, so you won't watch your clock on me, amen. We got to throw that clock, you know. I ain't get through one little part of the clock almost gone, amen. Forget the clock tonight, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, amen. We up in the astronauts, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, what are they doing? They are waiting for the takeoff, the 0 hour. Amen. This great orbiting that the church is getting ready to do, the great time of the countdown, I'd like to explain to you what I think the countdown is. Then it comes here on page 22. He says, then it's the 0 hour for the church to leave after the church ages has served their term. Now we are in the seventh age, the Laodicean church age, and we are looking for that great messenger of the second appearance of Elijah on the countdown. And as soon as that appears, then it's zero time. He have appeared, manifested his ministry, properly vindicated, and have gone. Yeah. And we've been here, still waiting. Yeah. Amen. In the Challenger, it was Columbia before, you know. But when it get a new name, when they change the name to the Challenger, then things begin to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of the Challenger came men walking in space. Amen. Out of the Challenger came men grabbing crippled satellites by the hand. Isn't that what Peter and John did? They held the man by the hand. Rise up! Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have give I unto you. Amen! Amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Let me read a scripture here. Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten the victory. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the Canadian arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. I believe it. I don't know about you. I believe it. Amen. If it was built in Canada, then something's going to happen in Canada. Amen. Why did the World Council have the greatest meeting here last July? And when the body part was gathered together. Why in September the head is going to come? Amen. Why does the Holy Spirit, amen, show a sign in the heavens? Amen. And then quickly gather the believers together. Why is all these things happening? If I had time, I would like to go in Hezekiah and show you something there. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, it's all something happening because we are on the expectation for a promise. God is bringing people from around the world not to have a good time, to display himself. Amen. Hallelujah. You know the first pull started in America and the second pull started in Canada? Yes, sir. Amen. God knows what he's doing. I'm just saying all these things because to show you, let's be alert. Amen. I'm reading from Kong Dong to show you the astronauts in the air and the achievement is showing something is fixing to happen. And even though they didn't do nothing in the air, it was still fixing to happen because it's God's season, it's God's time, and God already made a promise. But he's only showing a sign to alert the believers and let us have the right expectation. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's the zero hour. Amen. We are looking for it. He said, and then zero hour and the church takes its way home, goes out into space, into heavens, on beyond the moon, stars, everything else, and meet Jesus. This is what I want to get to here. The zero hour. And look where it ties in the zero hour here now. We have done had the conglong, page 24. You told us what would be the three stages of this. He's praying here. He said, you told the church ages. How did it go? The first church, the second church, the third church, the fourth, fifth, sixth, the count is seven. And after seven, this age, we are already in it, the last age. And now the countdown is on. The ages is done, counted for. Luther age, Wesley age, Pentecostal age. And now, Lord, gathering into the astronaut with a great magnifying glass in front of it, we can see glory. We can see Jesus. Could you see him tonight? Amen. See him in all his power. See him in all his promises. Amen. Everything that he promised is reflecting upon us. We thank you for this. He's praying. He said, God, may the church today quickly get into the safety zone. For soon comes the zero hour. I'm saying we enter into the zero hour. 1962, he was saying, soon comes the zero hour. Amen. I'm saying for the last 20 years, God has been pulling us quickly into the safety zone. Amen. Under the blood in Goshen, where death couldn't strike them. When all Israel began to be gathered into Goshen, something was fixing to happen. Amen. Noah had to enter into the ark before judgment came. The children of Israel had to go into Goshen before judgment came. Amen. Elijah had to enter into a secret place before judgment came. The bride in this age has to enter into a secret place before judgment comes. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is what God has been doing. That's why the word has been pushing you and pushing you. Amen. Let me see. Moving here. Don't slack around here. Don't play around here. Be serious. Straighten up. Tighten up. Amen. Because God has been pushing us into a place. The Holy Spirit, the cherubims, holding us back to the tree of life. Amen. For soon comes the zero hour and the door of the great astronaut will be closed. The astronaut plane, and we will go like Noah did when he got into his astronaut. Look what the Spirit is picking up this year now. He said, now soon comes the zero hour, and the zero hour, the door will close. And like Noah, the door will swing shut. Hold that right in your mind. We're going to build that right here. We will go like Noah when he got into his astronaut, as it was, floated in and above the waters of judgment. And Father, we want to get into you, that we might be able to float through the streams of time, on past Mars, Jupiter, Venus, over the Milky Way, on and on and on, where the natural astronaut knows nothing about. But we see that you are letting him do that for a sign. Amen. Brother Brown says, we see you are letting the natural astronaut do that for a sign. Amen. Oh, my, why do they call it Challenger? The hour of the great challenge is here. Amen. Samson, Brother Bram said, in his backslidden condition, couldn't face the challenge of the hour. But when he began to pray and get sincere, and the power of God began to come back upon him, he was ready to face the challenge. David went out to face the challenge against Goliath. He had to take off Saul's armor. He had to get the smooth stones from the brook. Amen. And here, all that was only a type, speaking of a great challenge, a great hour that is going to come. And here, amen, the challenger going forth to face the challenge. Amen, in this hour. Hallelujah. So he says, you know, he says, but we see you are letting him do that for a sign, that we might be ready to go. We are moving from the earth. Amen. Granted, Lord. So what's going to happen? In the zero hour, the doors will close. When the doors close, what takes place? It will be like noises. Amen. It will just sail away. And no one will be able to come in or go out. Now, look at this now. Soldiers are in prison. If the zero hour is like Noah, when the door swings shut, that is the zero hour. Now, I want you to see now where that door is going to swing shut. One of these days, it's going to happen. We are in the hour when it's going to happen. Listen to this. Amen. Page 42. Speaking about Jesus' ministry. His first pull, he healed the sick. Is that right? Second ministry is prophesying. His third ministry, preaching to the lost. The three mountains and so forth. The three mountains and so forth. Now you all knew. 1963. On Standing in the Gap, June the 23rd, Brother Branham was speaking about an everlasting sign of seven peaks. Amen. He wanted to run away. He had built up a complex. He thought the people was not receiving the message. He decided to get off the field and go and be a trapper up in the woods. Amen. And while he had that plan in his heart, he already studied out how he's going to entice his wife, coax her to get her to go up with him. And God, who manifested through that prophet many a time and discerned the people's hearts, was now discerning the prophet's heart. Amen. He was now in the prayer line now. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit says, that's what you have in your heart. That's what you are thinking. You carry it out and you will see what will happen to you. Amen. Just when he was planning that. Amen. Then what happened? God came and showed him. Now, all this is in the text here, no? I'm not off my text. We're going to see at what point Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Remember we said the hour is come that the bride should be glorified. I'm trying to bring you to show that hour here from the scriptures. Amen. The zero hour when the door is to be closed. But look where the door is going to be closed. So when he saw that sign there, God showed him the signs. How many peaks? Seven. How many letters in the name? Seven. Amen. Look at those three great poles. Those three great peaks. They speak of your three poles. Your ministry. The third one, perfection. That's your first pole. The fifth one, grace. That's your second pole, knowing the secrets of the heart. The third one, the highest of all, is the finished pole. He said there was never, not another peak after that. It was desert. Now, don't be fooled now and think that that is just a little mountain range. I want to show that that's the Bible. Because the third pole, the sign in the hand, was 1946. Is that correct? That's when he went out in the ministry. The Israel was gathered back in the homeland. Because after the Israel was gathered back in the homeland, then he went out. Amen. The second pole, discerning the secrets of the heart, was the fifth peak. Amen. Then the seventh peak was the third pole. But the third pole was three things. The spoken word, the opening of the word, and the preaching to the lost. Amen. And Brother Branham in 1965 left. But the preaching to the lost part is still yet to take place, because that takes place after the doors are closed. It's complimentary to what I'm saying. Now he stood there and he said, Brother Bram told me, he said, Brother Perry, we're right on the shoulder of that peak there, that great one there. Now Brother Bram stopped 2/3 of his third pole ministry. The church was going to finish out the work. Now that means scripture in St. John 4. My meat is to finish the work. Amen. To finish out that thing. We have to preach to the lost and finish the ministry of Jesus Christ. The bride will linger a while. But what's something? 1946 to 1965 was from the third peak to the seventh peak. 2/3 of the seventh peak. Amen. And 1965 to 1984, then the bride will have to be brought up to the summit of the seventh peak. Those mountains was only like a graph. It was only a symbol of the ministry of the prophet, which was the scriptures, the promise for this day. Amen. Now watch. After that was desert. He said, right on the continental divide where eternity sets in. Time is no more on the seventh peak. He said, time runs out on the seventh peak. But as the brother sanctified, there's going to be a Mount Zion showdown. And the bride would have to come to Mount Zion. A city built on a hill, it cannot be hid. A Mount Transfiguration for adoption. What is the attraction on the mountain? Amen. On the seventh peak? All these great mountaintop experiences. Amen. Amen. When the bride stands on that seventh peak, her light will be seen from around the world. Every kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe, there will be a bride standing there, a masterpiece of God. Amen. Amen. Now watch. Let me read a little bit to back this up. Now, page 43 here now. Those in prison, he said, he referred to Noah. Noah had 3 poles. Now remember, the 0 hour is when the astral door closed. But I'm showing you that that door closes on that seventh mountain. He said, Noah had 3 poles. His third was to the lost after the doors were closed. For God let him sit there. That's why all these people who's talking about doors closed is nonsense. Because where's the third pole ministry? Where's the spoken word ministry if the doors are closed? They ought to have that. After the doors are closed, God will anoint the church with power never seen before. When they don't even believe in power. Amen. Now watch. And his third pull to the Lord was after the doors were closed. For God let him sit there where nobody could enter or go out. On the seventh mountain, the highest mountain, that's where he settled the ark on the mountain. Is that right? So he's saying this here. Amen. That's what he accepted. Page 46. Remember these 7 peaks up there? They could tell you there's not another peak beyond that. It's on the continental divide. It goes right into the desert from there on. Eternity sets in. Then we somewhere between the opening of the word and the preaching to the lost. And the preaching to the lost was to finish out the peak. And eternity set in. Amen. We have come to the mountaintop. It's a summit on the seventh peak. Hallelujah. City on a hill. We have come to Mount Zion for the Mount Zion showdown. Amen. Maybe we'll get into that sometime. Now listen here. So he says it's on the continental divide. It goes into the desert. Eternity setting. 7 peaks right on the continental divide. That's between right and wrong. And at the end of that, the third pole was the last pole on the range. All right, Noah went in. Then after 7 days, nothing happened. In 7 days, judgment come. Supreme judge. If only in Noah's time they would have known that sign of the 7 peaks of the supreme judge. If only in Noah's time they'd have seen the ark on the 7th mountain. Hallelujah! Being built. From 1959, he was on the seventh mountain. Amen. Elijah was on Mount Carmel. Moses was on Mount Sinai. Abraham was on Mount Moriah. I'll show tomorrow night we on Mount Moriah also. Because that spirit on mountain we on right now represent Mount Transfiguration, represent Mount Moriah, represent Mount Zion, represent Mount Pyramid, represent Mount... Everything for us is on mountain top. The third pole, the unveiling of the mighty God in the bride. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Sunday we are taking the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name as one name. And when Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name, he said, Father, I have come in thy name. I have manifested thy name unto them. Now, Father, glorify thy name. Amen. That was the name of my God. Amen. Then when the real bride comes, sure she's bone of his bone, sure she's flesh of his flesh, and she stands on the seventh peak, amen, just before the desert part set in, what would she say also? Yes. Father, glorify thy name, because we have part of the name of the city of my God. Glorify thy name also. Amen. And how will you know it? When Jesus come with his angels, amen, being revealed from heaven in flaming fire. What is he coming to do? To be glorified in his saints. That his name, the name of my God, the name of the city of my God and my new name could be glorified in you. Hallelujah. No wonder he said the Pentecostals Holland don't get nothing. Amen. But it was going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That we can know we are part of his word. We are part of his bride. We are the living book of redemption. Written epistles. No longer the written epistles here, but the manifested epistles. All right, no went in. 7 days, nothing happened. Then the judgment came. If only they would have known that sign. The world in that day, and God proves here by reading of the scriptures. All right, the closing. He destroyed them people, not without mercy. Mercy was sent to them by a prophet. They wouldn't believe it. He always sent mercy for us. What if they would have known that sign was the end time sign? What if they would know after that peak, there was desert, eternity was going to set in? What if they had known after that cloud was turned to the supreme judge? Amen. Then judgment, the day of vengeance, Paul says, to take vengeance upon them. Paul knew that when Jesus came the first time, you only read half of the scriptures. Paul knew that Jesus will have to come, regardless of what form he comes in. Amen. We'll have to pick up the second half that pertains to his second coming. Amen. And preach the day of vengeance. Amen. Amen. Identified masterpiece of God. But Abraham says, the bride will come and pick up that part of the scriptures. That is why he said the church will linger a while and preach to the lost. So we close out here. What if they would have known that sign was the end time sign? The first thing you know, the door closed. There was only one person knew that sign. That was Noah and his group. Because they knew they were on the seventh peak. They knew they were in the 0 hour. Amen. Noah knew that was the finish. He knew it, that's right. If only they would have known the sign. If only they would have known that sign. Amen. Okay, let's start the scripture here now. First seal, page 22, St. John 12. The hour has come when the Son of Man should be glorified. A voice spoke of heaven, it thundered. And Brother Ram goes to explain what a thunder is. He said, now listen here. First Peter page 22. Now read close. Then you won't have to wonder no more what it is. And he quotes in John 12. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. See, you are at the end of an age dear. His ministry is ended. Now, here's my thought now. The ministry of Jesus Christ was reincarnated back in the church in the last days. And it ends on the seventh peak. Amen. And the last part of that peak had to be lived out by the bride. Amen.
because Brother Branham fulfilled 2/3 and left. From the 3rd peak to the 7th peak was from 1946 to 1965. Then from 1965 to 1984 was the last peak to come to the peak. That time I'll take the quotes and show you where in 3rd Exodus he is reading the scriptures when God tell Moses, bring them out of Egypt and bring them back on this holy mountain. They'll worship me here. As he read in the scriptures, he preached that message the 30th of June 1963, the week after he had spoke about the signs. And he said, I'm catching it right here by inspiration in my scripture this morning. God is sending the runaway prophet back to his job and giving him a mountain for a sign. Because Moses was run away from his job, going to the wilderness. God gave him a sign and told him, go back and bring the people back here. Brother Abraham was going to run up in the woods and hide. And God tell him, go back and pull the bride out before the doors are closed and bring them back on this mountain here. If ever you doubt in your heart, come back to this place. It's an everlasting sign. You catch that? Everlasting sign. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's still a sign for us. Amen. But now we're not looking at the natural mountain. We look at what the mountain represented in the world. So he says, that the hour has come, you are at the end of an age there. Where does the bride age end? Where does time end? Where does the ministry of Jesus Christ end? It ends right in the 7th peak, because after that is desert eternity setting. Amen. See, you are at an age there. So then when the bride comes to that peak, and she comes to the mountaintop, and time is about to run out, then is when Jesus cried, Father, glorify thy name. Hear what he says. He said, the hour is coming, the Son of Man should be glorified. And Brother Abraham says here, what about the hour that comes when the bride must be taken away? Or the hour has come, the time shall be no more. Amen. St. John 12. Is the hour come, the time shall be no more? Time shall be no more on that 7th mountain. In standing in the gap, he says now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. God made the earth in 6 days and rested the 7th day. He says, time is no more. At the last trump, the 7th trumpet, time shall be no more. Then eternity sets in. Amen. And from 1965 to 1984, God has been bringing us up to the mountaintop for the last part. The last part of the mystery. All three showdowns is right inside here. The Mount Carmel showdown against the false prophets. Amen. And we had our share of the false prophets. Amen. And God had to slay everyone. Let the heads roll. Amen. At the Brook Kishon. Amen. Then we had our Mount Transfiguration. It was happening. A secret, privately, after 6 days, in the 7th, he took them up into a high mountain. And he began to reveal himself privately to them. Adoption. Mount Transfiguration. Secret, privately. But then when the squeeze comes, Mount Zion. Amen. They will see God who is hiding in a little bunch of people. They will see him manifested in the fullness of his power. Amen. The Mount Zion showdown. Amen. So notice, when that time comes, he says, and Jesus told him in John, he said, I have meat, and my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work. The last part of the range held part of the mystery of the 3rd pearl. And it had to be finished out before eternity set in. And Jesus, knowing the program in his day, part of the work was completed, but part was yet to be fulfilled. He says, my meat is to finish the work. And when he came on the cross, he said, it is finished. Amen. He knew what he had to fulfill. And here we come into this hour. And he knew there was going to be a particular hour he had to come to. And when he came to that hour, he said, Father, glorify thy name. Amen. Amen. And we have come to the hour here where he has to glorify his name. He said, I have did it once before, but I will glorify it again. He will fulfill the work of faith with power. Amen. Amen. And when that time comes, those scientists there going up in the sky, what does all that mean? Amen. The last time they went out, not this time here, before this, it was the first time in the history of space that they had ever go out without any safety lines. They had gone as far as they was going to go, holding on to those safety lines. To go any further than that, they had to cut those lines and step out with faith in that power pack upon the back. And God showing us that the bride of Jesus Christ, we have gone as far as we're going to go, unless we come to the place where we can step out and have faith in our anointing. Amen. When Samuel anointed David, David knew what that meant. The historian Joseph said, he whispered in David's ear, and he told him it meant he's going to be king. And when the lion came, he knew he wasn't king yet. And that couldn't fail. If he died, God had to raise him back up to fulfill that. When Goliath came and the bear came, he knew he wasn't king yet. He was elected, he was called, he was anointed, but he had to be placed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And here we have come to a time, amen, to have faith in our anointing. And that was only a rehearsal. Get it now? That was only a rehearsal for this time. And when they went to this last time here, it was no more rehearsal. It was reality. It's in rehearsals, you don't take unnecessary risks. But they said those men were trained in all different atmospheres, underwater tanks, in flight insulators. They were trained and tested. And then the last rehearsal had to be in the actual atmosphere itself. The act, like when people go into fight war, understand. When you come into the real training, then there's training live bullets. Amen. All the time, a lot of dummy stuff. And they come into the place where they had to go out there in a rehearsal. And when they went out this time, they said this was the most dramatic space event ever planned, because it was a crippled satellite called Solar Max. And they called it Solar Max because solar has to do with the sun. It was designed to study the electromagnetic events of the sun, the light of the world. I know who the sun is. Amen. And here it was, after a little while, it got paralyzed because a cell in it blew out and became crippled in orbit, but not fulfilling no purpose. Watching the sun all the time, right in the presence of the sun, but can't function, it can't relay nothing. Can't pick up nothing. Can't tell them nothing. Amen. And these astronauts was going to step out. This is God's achievement in science, where I read for a straight force. It only for run spiritual things. And when they reached DNO and they had went out the first time, you see, they failed the first time. It began to get too dark. I was reading there in the paper, they said, the astronauts saying, the braver I get, the easier it will become. It's kind of timid, you see. He said, the braver I get, the easier it will become. Because when the first astronauts went out, they said it was easy as eating cake. Amen. It reminds me of Joshua and Caleb. They said it shall be as bread. Amen. And this ministry of the spoken word, it will be easy as eating cake. People are thinking some great, big, something going on. This will be so easy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. To see God come and have the preeminence in a son and daughter of God back in the rightful position. Because originally this was God's perfect thought concerning us. And when they went out, I think it was the ninth. They went out the ninth, but the ninth was the wrong day. They began to run a fuel, all kinds of different things. Because they couldn't go forth because they had to cross over the tenth. And the tent, the thing they least expect to use and perform the work out there is what they had to use. The arm built in Canada. And they still are afraid to use that because it might damage this delicate, sophisticated satellite. See? But the great outstretched arm, about 50 meters is in. Just move it and pluck it. And pull it into the cargo bay and was able to repair. They say the Canada arm saved the mission from total failure. See? And if God is showing that they have reached to a place where they can walk out there without any ties, with faith in their own anointing, faith in something that is proven, without any fear, they open a new door, they said. And they're making those kind of achievements. They're showing that back there in Acts, after the dynamics came, when they went out, two astronauts, Peter and John, and had a crippled satellite there by the gate beautiful. Amen. The first miracle in the book of Acts is a crippled satellite. Amen. And there is to be a continuation to show the bride of restored back. And God show a sign in heaven. Why they call it a crippled satellite? Why is it the one who is to study the events of the sun? Why have it be April the 10th? Why it is happening just at the time when the bride is recognizing who she is and she have faith in her anointing? If we didn't have faith in our anointing, if we didn't have the expectation, if we wasn't living under that inspiration, and those men do that, it would mean nothing to us. But because they're only complimentary to us in the spiritual realm, it let us know something is fixing to happen. Amen. Look by the word, when they come to the seventh peak, before the desert part came, where time was to be no more, where everything was to run out, where the ministry of Jesus Christ was to be completed. Amen. At the end of the ministry, at the end of the age, which was the 0 hour, is where he said, Father, glorify thy name. And he said, I have glorified before, and I will glorify it again. Amen. And the promise was when he come and be revealed in his mighty angels, he come to be glorified in the saints, that his name would be glorified. And here on Sunday morning, we saw that we have part of his name. Amen. Just said, Father, glorify thy name, in the name of my God. No, Father, glorify thy name, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, a city built on a hill that cannot be hid. Do you see where we are? Something is fixing to happen. And God for showing it in the natural realm before it takes place. And every one of us must have astronaut faith. Speak the word only. That kind of faith. Not come and lay your hands on me, that's automobile faith. And the prophet's words, we have to have astronaut faith. Could we all stand to our feet? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes reverently in his presence. We just know that something is fixing the climax. The amazing grace of God that call us out of the world, out of denominationalism. We who once were blind, now we could see. Now we could see we have come to this time. At the end of the age. At the end of the ministry. And the very same spirit returning back in the bride. At the very same junction. Crying out the same way again. Father, glorify thy name. Fulfill the work of faith with power. Almighty God. Father, as we stand in your divine presence tonight, taking these things into consideration, Father, examine it with the scriptures. Examine it with a message. Compare it with our lives. Lord, gathering up all this background to reveal the spiritual application of this hour. That we might see, Father, exactly and positionally where we are standing. What is fixing to happen in your economy, Lord. God, you made a promise. And you are here to perform what you have spoken. Father, we cannot stagger through unbelief. But Lord, we want to be strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto your name. Knowing you are here and here to perform what you have spoken. For this is the hour of the fulfillment of thy promise. Father, I pray these things tonight. Lord God, will help enlighten us, Lord, and serve to encourage us. And Lord, make us alert and watchful
and bring us under divine expectation, knowing that we are here, Father. And Lord, you begin the work. You said you will perform it even until that day, that we should have this confidence. Father, we look and we see the unchanging continuity, Lord, of your word. In the same line of the Spirit, in the same line of the word, continuing down these past 19 years, unfolding down to this very present hour. Lord, may our heart beat. Oh God, be saying, I believe. May our feet be in step in the rhythm of your word. Father, may we be so much in the spirit of the composer. Lord God, we could sit back with our eyes closed and these things could be such realities unto us. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh God, for we see we are at a junction. We hear the trumpet trumpeting out. Lord God, we hear the piano playing out some notes. We hear the drum drumming out. We hear the cymbals crashing. It all is speaking something unto us, Father. Oh God, identifying the very hour. Lord, I pray our hearts be so inspired, our faith be so challenged, oh God, that we can step out, Father, and anoint the promise of the living God, knowing that you are here and you will bring it to pass. For this is the believer, the faith that moves in us, Lord. Hallelujah. The identification of the prophesied promise. Lord, let that be in everyone tonight, Father. Let them recognize their true position. Father, I thank you for the patience and the concentration the people have exercised tonight. Oh God, may these things, Lord, never leave them, oh God. But Lord, may it tend up in their heart, bear down, get sweet in the spirit. Oh God, till their very lives can be governed by it, Father. We're going to be walking in step onward Christian soldiers, just like your prophet saw it in the vision. Bless them, oh God, and grant them rest in their bodies. Strengthen them, oh God, and keep them in meditation, Father, as your spirit continue to make real and reveal further on these things. God, may you grant tonight. We come in each and every one in your hands, and we thank you for these things and this time we have spent in your divine presence tonight, knowing, Father, that profited us. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you heard quite a bit, didn't you? Amen. Amen. We're going to sing in just a moment. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. Amen. The time that the prophets foretold. Brother Ben mentioned, which hasn't been mentioned over this pulpit, I don't know if it's ever been spoken very much, but when Brother Branham got very discouraged and was going to kind of speak to his wife and see if he couldn't get her away, and he was going to just lay aside the ministry for a while. But I know the exact spot he was going to buy, and we sat and talked about it. He told me exactly how much money he would have, and he sold his place. And I've been to the place many times. He said, I'm going to just come up here, and I think we'll just buy this place, help Brother Bud out, so on and so forth. You know, that place burned down. I've never told that before. And Indian man that I have, before that place burned down, Indian man that I have a picture, Brother Vin, you may be interested in seeing the picture, went with us on one hunt and dealt with him, you know, and I spoke to him about his soul and tried to get him to be serious. And he didn't seem to have much of a call. That man, there was a fuel oil shed, and he crawled in there and was sleeping, and I guess he was smoking, and one of the last things I talked to him about was his cigarettes. And he'd sit there and puff that little cigarette and let the smoke curl up around his eyes. And I'd talk to him, Oscar, I said, you shouldn't smoke those cigarettes. They're bad for you. Like that. You know, let that smoke curl up around his face. Just didn't seem to have any care for it. He burned to death from his own cigarette in that fuel shed. And then sometime later, the whole place burned down. One. quite remarkable. You say, well, you know, I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in accidents at all. And it's sad, but those were the events. So the very place the prophet was going to take up and buy, God just turned it into some other gases. So it doesn't even stand today. I guess he probably didn't want it standing, his remembrance. He thought of that when he was discouraged. So the Lord wiped that out. So we have those times. You might have, you might have said, well, that service tonight was a little bit different. Well, can you imagine what the disciples thought when they first heard John come back off of Patmos? It didn't really fit with the rest of the scripture, did it? Can you imagine you and I? Do you know? Now listen, folks. You and I are living in that day. Do you think that the fulfillment should be any less strange than the actual writing was to them? I believe it really has meaning. I believe that all these things have meaning. Paul said that there isn't a sound without meaning. Whether it be a little rabbit, or whether it be a wolf, or whether it be something else, a tiger or a goat groaning, giving birth to its young, whatever it is, it has a meaning. I believe all these things have meaning. No, Brother Vin just didn't dream up these things today, but he was filled with, he's digested those messages, and then I guess we could say modern events made clear by prophecy. Brother Branham used, that was his title, Modern Events. Now, if he was the last messenger, then, and that was the last voice to come, then that title cannot become history. It has to remain Modern Events made clear. But you know the things they're talking about now. I'm not delaying you on purpose because I couldn't say these things tomorrow night. But the thing they're talking about now, you see, they want to build cities in space. We're the ones who have a city in space. And you know why they want a city in space? Is because they want it clean. They got too much garbage down here. That's exactly the truth. That's why it's in the heart of man. He wants clean air because he's polluted this. He wants something clean up there because he's made a mess of this. He'll never have it clean up there. Even before he gets up there, he's already strewn it with garbage in space, you see, because he's full of garbage. You see, man is not the solvent. He's the pollutant. See, he talks about the beer cans and the gum wrappers and all of these things. Well, who threw it there? You know, it wasn't the moose. We're the culprits right here. We're the ones that evade, you know, leave the city and then go out into the country, and you know what we do there? Man. No, all those things have meaning. Absolutely. Go out there into the country and pollute everything out there. I believe that, as Daniel knew by reading the books, we've read the books, and it means something to us. Amen. God bless you. Last but not least, I was finally happy to hear somebody say something about Canada. God bless our dear American friends. We're not Americans and we're not Canadians, but we're all aliens and foreigners here. But you know, I've often wondered, you know, all the great people that they all come out of the States, and in this generation, that's really right. In the last messenger to come, I've often pondered about that. Nothing ever much come out of this country. Now, I've often thought about, you know, all the songs they sing about Oklahoma and Chicago and, you know, California and Houston. They sing all the songs. Did you ever hear a song about Saskatoon or Edmonton, Halifax, how wonderful Halifax is? You never heard, you know, old Saskatchewan, I wish I was going back to Saskatchewan. Never heard a song like that. Even sounds goofy to us. But, you know, somehow, you know, Oklahoma, my, this is, you know, you hear all these songs in Chicago, that great city. Boy, you know what the prophet said about it? He said it was atomic fodder. But they've got it deluded. They're deluded to believe that there is something there. See? But he never heard a song. Well, anyway, we've got a Canadian arm. We heard about tonight. Amen. What song is that? 72? All right. I hope you don't think I'm just being humorous. I enjoyed that immensely. How many enjoyed the word? Amen. 72 in the Blue Book. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, the third verse. Heaven's powers are shaking, many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. Oh, the day of redemption is near. The man's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption. False prophets are lying. God, this generation spurns God's revelation. We'll walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Look up, your redemption is near. How wonderful it is, as we heard tonight, that we can just simply believe. That astronaut faith. I know we've practiced here that you've come up and had hands laid on you. But believe it or not, as I've been out in meetings and we've been with ministers, I have strongly supported and taught and preached that the higher order is to just believe it. Amen. And I'll tell you why. Nobody gets the glory. Amen. See, in that first pull and that second pull, those were just personal identification marks for the messenger. They were not. And that's why Brother Branham called the men who followed brethren, but when he referred to what they were doing, he said impersonators. Because they were impersonating a one-man identification mark. And they were brethren, but they were doing the wrong thing, you see. And the higher order, now say you got a need. We don't know anything about the need. But you ought to come to church. You ought to come believing whatever that need is. You ought to come. If you come with a fear or you come with a bondage, you ought to say, God, I can't deny. This thing is on me. This spirit is oppressing me. But I'm coming tonight believing that this will be done. That's why I'm coming. I'm coming under your word. I'm coming under the sharpness of the sword of the Spirit. I'm coming believing. I'm coming expecting. As that man of God speaks maybe just one line, but I'll walk out of here free. I'll walk out of here healed. I'll walk out of here delivered. I believe that with all my heart. Nobody gets the glory except him. Just him. He gets the glory. Amen. You know, as we speak about these things and the very lateness or the you know, what we're moving into. If, I mean, let me just say this to you now. I'm not just talking to waste my breath. If there's a little twinge and say, oh, well, you know, that you almost wish that we're not that far along. Maybe we want to be a little more sincere. Maybe we want to be just a wee bit, you know, more snugged up, more consecrated. You think we could be? A little more consecrated, just a little more sincere with these things, a little more earnest about them. I believe we can be.
Hallelujah.
I've been checking up myself. I've been checking up. I believe that's your testimony. Amen. Oh, my brother, my sister, cut every shoreline. Just cut every shoreline. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. We're going to close in prayer right away. But I want you to know your life has been preaching a sermon today. Our brother Vin spoke about preaching to the lost. You preach to the lost today. They saw it. There's a living word that's been lived out. A message today. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. So indelibly mark our minds and hearts tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word that has been spoken. We just thank you, Father, for the presence of your Spirit and your being with us. Oh, Lord. And I'm praying that that word finds its anchoring place. I pray, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, in the urgency of this hour that we're in.
Hallelujah.
You'll grant, oh God, we'll rise up in astronaut faith, cutting all the safety lines and all the shorelines. May we launch out, oh God, in a life, Father, I pray. Our souls cry out, my Jesus, my Jesus. Thank you for the ministry of the word tonight, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Do a work in our hearts, Lord. I don't want to just close the service. I want you to turn your face just to him and say, Lord, Jesus, you know exactly what I need. You know exactly how you'd like to send me home to my place tonight. Filled, not only to the brim, but overflowing, filled. Oh, God, thank him for the word tonight. Thank him for the message tonight. And prepare our hearts for tomorrow. Oh, Lord, let my soul, oh, God, pants after you, hungers after the living God, Jesus. How faithful, how wonderful, how present, Lord, you are, my Jesus. I believe that this is the time, Lord. This is the time, oh God. Moving out, oh Lord, into the realms, oh God. Moving out, oh God. Moving out, oh Lord. Bless your name. Lord, praise your name, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Moving out, oh God, into the realm. Here to the place. Hallelujah. 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 Speaking to our hearts.
Hallelujah.
We're going to close in just a moment. But you might be saying in your heart, Brother Ed, what could we expect? I would like to think that something could be launched from this little assembly. I believe that it could. I believe that it could be an influence in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Not only here, but abroad.
Hallelujah.
I believe that the quality of the brothers and the sisters, that God will instill in us such a very nature and character of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The influence. Just think what it can be and how far it can reach. You young sisters and the young brothers and the assembly, that vibrancy, that life of God, that life of Christ. Oh, listen to me now. Just cast off anything. Cast it off. I'm saying that because there's things trying to hang on to you. Cast it off. Amen. Turn your face upward and let the glory of Christ, the sun that is shining now, fill us now. Fill us now. Oh, let our homes be the examples. Let our lives preach. Let us sever ourselves from all things of the world. Anything that would taint or hinder. Surrender it up now. Amen. I'm reaching out.
To you, dear Lord, I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. I'm reaching out, reaching out, I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I know I'll be more like you just by reaching out to you. Once again, I'm reaching out, reaching out, reaching out to you. I know your heart is not too short,